Your heart beats faster and faster.
That's because you burped during it.
There it is. Every man has sin, and every sin has man. But in the end, only one can take the fall. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Sunday night. Once again, this is your Ghostbusters Demon Hunter Show.
Ooh, paranormal broadcasting, where if it's outrageous and unbelievable, you know we'll go check it out, so you don't have to waste your time on it.
Yeah. Hey, gang, we're back live in studios, and we'll be in the the GD chat room all night long. Me, you, and Jason Gowan.
Yeah, that's about it. And you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
And, of course, this is the Ghost Man, Sean B.
And that would make me Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
I'm botching it bad.
I'm Roy Schaefer. This and Mickey Rooney here tonight on 60 Minutes.
Okay, guys. Okay. This is the Sunday, August 30th broadcast of our little show.
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris and is broadcast live on Absurd Radio, Omnisound Radio, and Planet Paranormal Radio, and is recorded for Planet Net Paranormal Radio, the Black Vault Radio Network, and the Para X Radio Network.
Tonight's guest, everybody, get ready. You, me, and everybody. We're going to head into the darkness. Tonight's guest, we have going to Transylvania, Vampires, Ghosts, Oh My. We talked to Justin Blair, director of the movie Across the Forest, Tales from Transylvania. We're going to see what's really happening down there with the vampires, guys. So stay tuned.
Sure.
Transylvania. I must have made a wrong turn at Albuquerque.
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is really beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
Your heart beats.
Are you heathens and hooligans? Come on, get the hell out of here. Bottle someone else for a while now, brother. I can use a beer. Don't need you and I don't need this. I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans. Come on, get the hell out.
You know,
are you going to open everything with a burp there, Sean?
I can't help you, man. I'm already crashed. I'm trying. Hold on a second. Hold on. We're going to open our night up.
That's that sweet Coca-Cola I'm sure you just opened there, Sean.
That's right. It's actually got Miller High Life on the label, but we'll call it Coca-Cola. How about
yes, because we don't drink on the show, never.
No. Well, you don't. What are you doing, Gowan?
I'm apparently topless, covered in peanut butter.
Mm-hmm. What else is
that's
new?
That's how we all do, sure. Yeah.
Oh, normal Sunday for me.
Right. I like peanut butter. I like peanut butter and jelly, man.
I can't put jelly. That stains the sheets.
You guys are gonna have to fill me in tonight. Like I said, I am. I've been drinking Coke since about 7 o'clock today, and I'm very caffeinated.
7 o'clock this morning.
Whatever. I don't even want to hear it. Every phone call I get from you, it's at a bar. Ooh.
Using the DD though, you get up and you watch the 700 Club on Saturday morning and have your own breakfast brisk.
I actually have a drinking game for the 700 Club. Every time he says amen, I drink another 600.
Every hand takes chugs.
I'm just sitting here. I know tonight's gonna be a wild one. I'm sitting here with the beeper button getting ready. That's all.
Got the beeper button going, huh? Wow.
So.
What? What's going on? That's what I've been hearing all day, guys. That's what I've been hearing. The baby's been crying all day. I had to get the studio ready for tonight's show. And, wow, I didn't know. I didn't know that you guys would be here. I thought I'd be on my own tonight. I was ready to go.
You were ready
to rock.
You sound like you're ready to go.
I am.
I'm not sure where you were ready to go, but you were ready.
Oh, check this out. Nathan, Jason, check this out. Do you guys remember, ever since we were kids, there's been these photos. I'm getting a little feedback, Demon Hunter, but anyway, there's been these photos, and they always hang them on the refrigerator. My mom did, everybody. And, you know, you seen these photos, it was like, right before this plane crash happened, here was Jesus in the clouds. Or here was Moses' beard, and this little kid died like 3 days after. And these all came from like the 50s and 60s. So I went from about.com today, and I was looking up some stories, our good folks at about.com. And I wanted to talk about these pictures tonight. I mean, do you guys think these are... Most likely they're phonies, but what do you guys think about these, man? Have you seen some?
I have not seen them.
Go ahead, Nate. Sorry.
I was just saying, I really don't think I've seen those photos, so.
You've never seen
them? I saw the ones, like, after 9/11, I saw the ones where, like, Satan's face was in the smoke of the towers. Like, I've seen those ones.
Why are you looking for Satan, Jason? That's what I want to know. Why are you looking for Satan?
I'm not looking for Satan, but sometimes his websites pop up on my computer.
It's because Satan knows where you're at. That's what he does.
Don't say stuff like that. That's horrifying.
I understand you've been having bad dreams lately, Jason.
Yeah, I'm having nightmare problems again. I don't know what's going on.
Not good. Not good.
Apparently, I need to just calm down and stop going at 100 miles an hour.
Right. Stop partying like a rock star, man.
I have been partying a lot recently. Like, it's funny, like, you message me, and, like, every time you message me, I'm either out partying or on my way home from partying.
Now, let me get this right. Now, I know no member of the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show would be at a topless establishment, but I got a text the other night. Somebody was from a topless establishment. Do we know who that was? Did we ever pinpoint that, or...
Well, I know it wasn't me.
What are you talking about? What? Right.
It must have been me.
That was
it, guys. It was me.
I don't know what you're talking about. It couldn't have been. I don't know what you mean.
Well, these guys are running. But, you know, of course, I have been to the topless establishments here in beautiful Indianapolis to try to check out the integrity of these ladies. They, too, suffer from hauntings, and somebody needs to help them.
Of course they do, Sean.
I was dating. In my defense, I had been dating one.
You've been dating a haunting?
Not a haunting, exotic dancer.
Oh, really?
You know this. Why are you pretending like you don't know the story? You know this.
It makes for good radio, man. Hold on a second. Hold on now.
I was about to ask Sean if he was looking for an appearance of Jesus to show up at the topless establishment.
Well, I can assure you, some of the dancers, I damn near saw God.
Yay!
The comments of Jason Gowan do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Oh, get out of here.
First time Nathan's ever had to do that for me.
Well, so anyway, we know Gowan's dating a topless dancer, which is, that's classic.
Not anymore. That already is over. But
well, I want to take a survey. How many people in the chat room are dating a individual who works at a topless establishment? It could be a man or a woman. A lot of people think when you say topless establishment, it's a woman. But there could be men, too. Now, Gowan, which are you dating? Yeah. See how I played it right in?
I saw it coming a mile away though, but I you did set it up nicely.
Thank you.
You just said it was a girl.
It's hid from the kids. Yeah.
Oh my God. Shut off this mic.
I can't. I'm having too much fun.
Just shut him off.
Go ahead, Nathan. What are you going to say? I'm smoking a cigar right now.
So am I. What cigar are you smoking?
I'm smoking a Patron from our good friend Jerry. Thank you, Jerry. Where are you smoking yours from, Nathan?
I picked up I'm smoking a Tarano cigar, which I picked up at Butthead's Tobacco and Emporium in Danbury, Connecticut.
Butthead's! Now, is that one of those Spanish cigars that are laced with that Spanish grass?
No, I would not know anything about those, Sean. What are you smoking, and why are you breaking the law getting those? I don't understand what you're saying.
I don't break the law. I'm just saying they're out there. Some people do, you know, purchase them. And it's probably
most of
our...
You have no idea. You've been drinking since 7 o'clock this morning.
I could be smoking anything right now. I don't...
Yeah, didn't he just get done saying he was taking care of his child all day, and now he's been drinking since 7 o'clock this morning? You're going to have, like, people knocking on your door from, like, the Division of Youth and Family Services.
No. I took care of my child, and when my shift was over, I popped a brew. Thank you.
Poor baby Annie's got diapers on her head instead of her bottom.
All I know is she's sound asleep. That's all I know. So. Okay, well, you guys hit me with that. Does anybody got anything cool to say tonight? Come on!
Well, no, I want to hear more about Jesus showing up in the clouds and stuff that you were checking out.
Well, you know, I was looking into that.
Warning. Uh-oh. Text in progress. Do not, I repeat, do not enter.
This is why they don't let people drink and drive, ladies and gentlemen, because they can't handle the equipment.
Guys, I can't do all these one-liners by myself. You know what I mean? I got the horn here. I got the bell. I got the kids.
As far as I'm concerned, you're not really handling the ones you're giving us.
I got to do the control room. That's hard. That's hard to do, man. Because I got the control room, and I got to make funny stuff up, you know, and tell people about our days, which is really not making stuff up. We actually have a great time. Me, Nathan, and Gowan. Crazy! So anyway, guys, if you don't have anything at all, we got...
Well, I thought we were talking about Jesus in the clouds and then the ghost and stuff.
Sean keeps, like, leaving his own topic. I mean... Little Ridlin here would help, I think. It's
Hey, you know what? That's why we're co-hosts. You guys are supposed to bring me back. Round me, man. Round me.
Jesus, clouds.
No, I've seen that, guys, on About.com today. They had the pictures. They had a picture that was taken in the 60s, and somebody posted it, and it was a mother and father with a child, and apparently the child died 6 weeks after the photo was taken, and in the photo... You had a side profile of an individual who looked an awful lot like the white Jesus that we see in a lot of Baptist churches and Catholic churches and stuff like that. So the question was, do you think these pictures are real? Now, I think they would go in with, like Gowie said about the 9/11 photos, I think that would go into that category. I mean, do you guys think these are actual paranormal phenomena? I mean, it's been going on for a while. I remember my mom had a picture of Jesus in a cloud somebody said they took from an airplane. But, you know, of course, I don't know who it was and what aircraft they were on. But, you know, what do you guys think?
Well,
go ahead,
Jason.
Go ahead, Nate.
Oh, I was going to say that I thought that the photo from 9/11 proved to be Photoshopped.
Yeah, I think it was, too.
But, you know, personally, I'm not one to disbelieve signs. If people say they have something that happened that's a sign, I tend to roll with it and agree that it's possible. But faces in the clouds, things like that, I tend to believe are more matrixing than anything else.
And I agree. You know, agree.
People seeing what they want to see.
What do you think, Gal?
Yeah, especially now in these days, like you were saying with the Photoshopping, I think that stuff is a lot more common than people... try that much harder to make a sign in a place than they used to.
Right. Well, I got to tell you guys that I've seen a lot of these. Like I said, my mom had them, and a lot of people might have been doing this stuff since the early 60s, early 70s, whatever, to try to get people's interest. But these photographs are out there, and it raises a good question. As paranormal investigators, guys, you know we can't believe everything that's submitted, everything you see, because you don't want to be gullible, right? You don't want to end up on the Oprah Winfrey show and say, you know, this is 100% real ghost, and you find out that some cat photoshopped it in his basement. But you know what? As paranormal investigators, if we were at, and this is something to think about, if we were at an investigation and you got a full-bodied apparition and took its picture and posted it, how many people do you think the next day would be total believers in that photo?
If somebody posted a full body apparition, I think even I would look at it skeptically. I would look at it and be like, oh, how do I know they didn't Photoshop it? We have our friend Kenny Biddle, who we, you know, checks those things out. I'd ask him to send it to him so he could test it and see, you know, if it's been Photoshopped at all. I wouldn't believe it right off the bat. And okay. I think your people who want to believe, which maybe, you know, 20-30% of your population out there, could be more, would believe it right off the bat. But I think most people would look at it and say, I want that photo tested.
Okay, guys, take a drink. Nathan did not agree with me again. That's another drinking game on the Ghost Man.
How did I disagree with you? You asked me how many people I thought would believe it. I told you.
Hey, I'm just looking for a reason to drink, guys.
Now
take
I'm disagreeing
drink.
With you that I didn't disagree with you. Okay?
There you go. I'm taking a drink. Anyway, Gowan, what do you think?
I think you're both full. No, this is, I think Nathan's right. I absolutely think he's correct on this matter. He's got it right down. I think that you, at this day and age, that there are too many anomalies as far as
orbs,
like lens flare and all that kind of thing, and in the day of an age of photoshopping that happens far too often for us to just look at it and go, yep, that's a ghost.
Right. Well, that leads us to another discussion, guys, which is these pictures are paranormal. And since we don't know squat, really, about the paranormal yet, could it be that a photograph's paranormal? We just don't know about it. We don't understand it, so we go against it?
Oh, that's definitely possible, Sean.
Well, there you go.
Hey, I agreed with Sean.
Yeah, you did. Take a drink, guys. Either way, you're going to be drinking anyway. But anyway, you guys got anything else to add? Because I'm going right into the G&D show vaults to pull up the latest news in the paranormal.
I do have one thing to add, and this is for you and Jason both. I, as you know, I attended the wedding of our friend Rob this weekend. Rob and Jen got married.
Nice.
Congratulations, Rob and Jen. But while I was there, people were snapping pictures with their digital cameras. And, of course, afterwards, somebody came up to me and asked, you know, what do you think of orbs? Because I got an orb in one of the photos. Uh-huh. And I had to tell them what I think of orbs, you know, that they're 99.99999% dust or water molecules or just the camera pixelating because it doesn't understand what it took a picture of.
Right.
Yes, that's good. Sean doesn't agree with me on what most everybody else agrees with. Go figure. But, so, you know, there I was in a public forum again, not even in a ghost hunting capacity, being asked about orbs. And I just wondered how you guys are dealing with the people asking you ghost hunting questions on a day-to-day basis now.
Well, I tell them the truth. I tell them that that any evidence needs to be submitted to me, that I will tell the truth, and that, you know, pretty much all things paranormal, I'll tell the truth about, that I know everything. So.
And if it turns out to be real, Sean will take 100% of the credit for it.
And I'll go on the Oprah Winfrey show.
So say goodnight to the bad guy.
Yeah. Larry.
I figured we'd just end the show there.
Good night. I think you guys are
going to be very impressed if he doesn't pass out before 10 or before 11.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm working on it. I feel kind of woozy, guys. No, anyway, we got news, guys. Are you
news.
Ready for news. Gowan, you didn't chime in. Are you ready?
No, because I know this is just going to be more Sean Burris bullshit.
Yes.
Now, why do you do that on our show and not on the other shows?
Because it's nasty.
All right.
Wait, you can't say that word on the show?
Hit the bleep button. I understand.
No, let him say it. He's an I said too. That's terrible. Okay, guys, we're going to sing it. We're going to read the story off the presses, guys. It's comes from the Times of India. A frightened girl dies after ghost prank. Now, you too, Gowan, Nathan, you guys chime in whenever you want to. Whenever you get something smart to say, go ahead. Okay. So, all right. This comes from, and remember, guys, when I mispronounce a word, drink. That's the easy game for the Ghostbend Demon Hunter show. So we're going to start off with the mispronunciation right now. Burimapur, India. Drink.
Drink.
A prank turned horribly wrong in, drink again, Mershibadada School Wednesday. A girl suffered a cardiac arrest and died after being frightened by some youths dressed up as ghosts during a power outage in the evening. Five other girls were also taken in.
Somebody's just dressing up as ghosts.
Yeah, somebody. I thought it was you for a second, but I didn't think you'd get to India so quick.
Get out your sheet. We need to dress up.
Scooby-Doo! Anyway. Police said that around 8 p.m. when the area was in the grip of power outage, five youths scaled the wall at the high school.
What's a ute? Blank,
huh?
What's a ute?
It's the Italian version of youths. Watch My Cousin Vinny sometime. My goodness. Anyway, five youths scaled the wall of the high school. The youths wearing masks slipped into the premises and knocked on the door. When the girls did not open the door, they peeped in through a window and made howling noises. Now, I know that all three of us have done this before, but no one has died. We're not making light of a young girl who has lost her life, but I know we have done this before, guys, but nobody died.
So they not only dressed up as ghosts, they scaled the wall?
They scaled the wall, and they howled. They howled. Most of the girls
that sounds
were
like my Wednesday.
Well, I thought at least you could do a panty raid or something, you know? I mean, my goodness. Do something productive. But most of the girls were frightened, said sources. Get ready to drink, guys. Pratima Baski fell unconscious and was rushed to a local hospital. She was declared dead on arrival. That's very sad, guys. Five girls were hospitalized. Prabhe revealed that Pratima had suffered a cardiac arrest. School authorities suspected the pranksters are local residents. The boys and the girls' hostel are divided by a high wall. Such an incident has never happened, said headmaster, get ready to drink, Aridem Badel. The girls were frightened by the masked faces. Police are searching for the pranksters. They are still at large, guys. So if you do hear a knock on your door and hear howling, do not answer.
So now how are they going to prove who did it? Like, are they going to put all these guys back in sheets and put them in a lineup?
Well, number four, step forward and say boo.
Do you remember in Porky's they went into the girl's shower room and how they tried to prove that? Do you remember that? The original Porky's movie? No.
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 I can't say
only
it.
Only you, Sean. Only you.
Anyway, I got to throw that one in the trash. That's very sad. Young girl lost her life.
That is sad. That is
don't
sad.
Play pranks, guys. It's bad. It's bad for your health, apparently. Here's a good one. Okay, guys. Are you guys ready?
We're
is anybody
ready.
Say anything?
We're ready.
Okay.
Ready.
Okay, this comes out of the Telegraph out of the UK, guys. It's titled, Is the Loch Ness Monster on Google Earth? That's googleearth.com, of course, guys. You can see satellite pictures from all around the world if you go to googleearth.com. It says, the image, which can be seen on satellite mapping program, depicts a large object resembling a sea creature clearly visible beneath the surface of the water. Jason Cook told the Sun he spotted Nessie while browsing the website's satellite photos. Mr. Cook, 25, of Nottingham, said, I couldn't believe it's just like the descriptions of Nessie. Researchers Adrian Shine of Loch Ness Project told the newspapers, this is really intriguing. It needs further study. The image can be seen, of course, guys. I'm not going to give you the longitude, latitude numbers. If you want to check that out, I will put it in the forums after the show, guys. But early this year, it was reported that climate change may have killed the Loch Ness Monster. There have been no credible sightings of Nessie for over a year. Veteran American monster hunter Bob Rhines thinks environmental conditions in the Highland Loch have changed and can no longer sustain the elusive reptile. Gary Campbell of the Monster's official fan club said, I'm concerned. There have been none of the normal sightings that verify that Nessie and her family are still alive and well. The animal was first brought to the world's attention in 1933. Since then, there have been dozens of sightings, many of which have turned out to be hoaxes. There have also been a number of searches for the creature. The most recent was in 2008 when the scientists used the sonar and underwater cameras in an attempt to find the animal. So there you go, guys. I know on Discovery Channel they did that sonar thing. They didn't find anything. They think Loch Ness might have died because of the climate change and the atmosphere. I had the latitude-longitude guys that you put into GoogleEarth.com, and you can find what looks like, guys, a reptile. It looks like what Nessie looks like. It has the four fins and the elongated neck. They've seen her from a satellite over the Loch Ness.
Well, now, first of all, I thought Nessie was first sighted in 565 AD.
Oh, you think so, huh?
By St. Columbia, I believe it was.
Well, see, I read that too, but it says here, the animal was first brought to the world's attention
in
1933.
Okay, I see.
There you go. But you're right, Demon Hunter. I think they were, because they have old drawings and stuff.
Right.
Of a saint or somebody that was out there and they seen this this beast, this monster. I love Nessie.
It was eating sheep, wasn't it?
I think so.
But, I don't know. Sighting of Nessie on Google Earth. I mean, how close
it's
up
possible.
Can you actually look at the picture? And isn't Loch Ness, like, full of old logs and stuff floating around?
That's true. But this is satellite imagery, and it's very possible. I mean, it is possible that they caught Nessie on this thing. I mean, the satellites, man, they can pinpoint now into your windows. They can actually see what you're doing from satellites.
Well, I'll give them this. I don't get lost anymore thanks to satellites, and that in itself is paranormal, because Sean has driven with me before, and I can get lost driving down my own street. So
That's right.
It's a pretty amazing thing. Who knows?
You get lost a lot in the bedroom. That's why I know. Or was that Gowan? I don't know.
I don't know why you were looking for me, Sean, so...
I don't know. I always look for you guys.
Hey,
Gowan, add something. What's wrong with you? I just left it wide open.
I'm sad that Nessie might be dead.
Oh, it is sad.
I think she's still alive. I think she's elusive. She's...
Why hasn't she washed up on shore?
Because she's not
dead. Oh, my God. Can you imagine finding a dead sea monster just up on shore?
Well, there's actually pictures of some old fishermen that caught the skin of what they believed to be a dead sea monster, but then they thought it was the giant octopus. That's right. I said octopus.
Well, you know what, guys? I'm getting a lot of feedback and problems with the system. Why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, we'll have our guest for this evening, Justin Blair.
But I have another story from Canada.
Well, we'll have to talk. Hey, are we going to have a show next week?
You know what? I don't think we are, Demon Hunter. I don't think so.
Okay. Well, then we'll have to hit Canada the week after that, or maybe Sean can blog about it.
I might blog, guys. Okay. Stay tuned, guys. We head to Transylvania next. Stay tuned for vampires, witches, warlocks, ghosts, ghouls, all that good stuff. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back after this.
The Darker Side of the Moon is an alternative talk variety show.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Since 2006, host Becky Ray and Laura Moon speak with independent filmmakers, authors, musicians, artists, and many, many more.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Sometimes serious, mostly fun, the show has a little for everyone. Was it odd, freaky, and you didn't hear it on the 5 o'clock news? Then we'll probably cover it here.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Darker Side currently airs live Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
If you happen to miss it, you can listen to show archives at any time online at DarkerSideRadio.com, or you may subscribe to the show on iTunes.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Are you looking for your favorite paranormal podcast?
podcast? Well, come and visit us at planetparanormal.com. We are your guide to the other side. Come and check out our hub to see all our latest podcasts from your favorite paranormal celebrities. And don't forget to check out our news feeds to see what's late great in the paranormal community, as well as events coming to a town near you. Come visit us on the web at www.planetparanormal.com. That's www.planetparanormal.com.
Do you want to dive into the bizarre world of the paranormal? Do ghosts, UFOs, or the supernatural amaze you to the point of wanting to learn more? Then you need BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. With more than 750 hours of on-demand talk radio, syndicated from more than 35 shows, the Black Vault Radio Network is your one-stop shop for the world of the unexplained. Check us out and tune in 24 hours a day, www.blackvaultradio.com. Again, that's www.blackvaultradio.com.
Para X Radio, and you.
This is Johnny. Johnny is going to use his computer to contact the spirits. His sister Jenny is very curious and watches. Johnny just typed in www.para-x.com and is now communicating with the dead. You go, Johnny. Jenny is excited. One day, the world will be a better place when we can all be like Johnny and Jenny. And tune into Para X Radio at www.para-x.com. All paranormal, all the time.
This is Evo Dominguez Jr., author of Spirit Speak, Knowing and Understanding Spirit Guides, Ancestors, Ghosts, Angels, and the Divine. And I can't imagine a better place to be than listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. Keep listening.
All you heathens and hooligans, come on and get the hell out of here.
I'm not sure what we do now. I'm not sure what we do now, Sean.
What? What's going on? I didn't know.
I don't know.
I tell you, that guy wasn't scripted, Nathan. I tell you, that it's so funny. I love listening to our past guests when they do our voiceovers. And they're like, I love listening to the Ghostum and Demon show.
Actually, he did a good job recording, because most people take 5 or 6 tries, and I think he did it in 1 or 2 recordings. So
he did. It was pretty good. But I got to tell you guys, Nathan, Jason, tonight we are getting a little taste of Transylvania right here in studio, because we're talking to Justin Blair, director of the movie Across the Forest, Tales from Transylvania.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
And does that mean Justin is here with us right now?
It does.
How are you all doing there, guys?
Hey, Justin.
Justin.
Welcome to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, Justin. I'm just saying that because, like I said, most of our guests don't even remember the name of the show by the time they finish. So I just wanted to make sure you were good with that.
I'm good with it. I'm not sure which one of you is Ghostman and which one is Demon Hunter. That's my only confusion.
It doesn't matter at this point.
I'm the one that's naked. That's all you need to know.
And Jason's the one with peanut butter all over his chest.
I also am naked, so.
I am fully dressed.
Well, I feel comfortable with that. I'm glad that we're not doing this live in the studio, though. I'm glad.
You're stealing my thunder, Gowan.
People wonder why we don't do a video cast, and this is why.
I'm going to start next week. Doing a video cast.
But I got to tell you guys, Justin did send a little film. And I got a chance to watch it, and it was very well done. And Justin, I mean, what was it like going to Transylvania? Because you're from the U.S., right? You're from the States?
Born in America, yes, sir.
Okay, born and proud in America. But how was it going to Transylvania? Do you know that language? Or?
I learned Romanian, yeah. I've been there 3 times. First time was when I was at University of Florida doing some archaeology over there just for a couple months. When I was there the first time, I got intrigued with all the folklore stories about vampires and werewolves and forest spirits, and so decided to go back and spent about 7 months there, two different occasions, documenting these stories out in the small little villages, just getting stories from villagers about their experiences with the supernatural.
Right.
It was a crazy time.
You know what kills me, man, is some of these small villages still practice the old ways of life that they did back in the day, like burying somebody face down or taking the head off of a corpse so they couldn't come back. I mean, how real is that to the villagers of Transylvania?
Yeah, well, we get, you know, on the movie, there's several stories. Probably one of the craziest stories is when I was talking to this little old lady, and she had, you know, she looked like a grandma lady, and she was very kind and invited us into her house. And I didn't speak Romanian very well at the time, and we had a translator with us, and we left the house, and she, the translator turns to me and says, you know, that lady stabbed a corpse through the heart with a spike. And
wow.
You can't always tell from people's appearances what kind of actions they're going to take, but it's still very traditional. People are still, sure, there's cars, there's televisions also, but people are still driving around horses and carts, and there's still a lot of old beliefs and a lot of old supernatural beliefs there.
Now, is the generation of people being born in Romania and Transylvania, are they starting to shy away from the vampire beliefs?
They are a little bit. It's kind of sad. I mean, you know, television now, they were a communist country for a long time, and right at, you know, in the early 90s, a lot of freedom came, and that was really good in a lot of ways, but some of the old beliefs are starting to fade out. You know, I had a younger lady that I was having a drink with at a bar over there, and she was telling me, oh, you know, you shouldn't believe these things these villagers are saying, you know, it's a waste of time to collect these beliefs. She said, you know, none of that's real, but if you want to know the real thing, then you just go outside the hills here in Cluj-Napoca, and you can film spaceships and alien abductions and all that. So while the beliefs are changing in content, there's still, you know, people still believe in the supernatural, I think, like they do everywhere in the world, you know?
So, Big J, you were trying to get with some of the gypsies out there. Is that what happened? I love you, man. I love you.
What was the gypsy population like out there? Because it certainly looks like in the trailer that you dealt with quite a few gypsies.
Well, now, the interviews are, the thing about Transylvania is there's a lot of different types of people who live there. So you have the Romanians, and they speak Romanian. Those are the subjects for the interview were all Romanian. Hungarians live there also, some Saxons who are Germans that came over a long time ago and still live there. And then there's the Roma, which are the gypsy population. They speak a different language, and they're kind of isolated and kind of considered second-class citizens over there. There's a lot of turmoil between them and the rest of the ethnic communities. But we did film a few of the different rituals they had. You know, there was a basically, they have a kind of Day of the Dead thing, like they have several places. And we went into the graveyards at night, and the Roma population will do this thing where they bring out all this beer and this wine and cigarettes and all kinds of stuff, and they hand it out for free to people while they're sitting on the graves of their ancestors. That's one of the things they like to do, and that's in the film a little bit. But mainly we dealt with Romanians, people who speak Romanian.
Well, that's hot, man. That's hot. I don't understand. I don't get how it feels to go into a village, a Romanian village in Transylvania. And, of course, you got Dracula's castle, right?
Well, we never actually visit. The thing with Dracula's castle is that's outside of Brasov, and it's a really pretty tourist site. It looks really scary, but it's, you know, the guy that was considered Dracula, Vlad Sepish, he actually only spent like one night there. Now, I have been to Sighișoara, which is this old medieval city, and that's the birthplace of the guy a lot of people think of as Dracula. You know, it's really not that hard. The people are really friendly there. The way we collected interviews, we talked to some anthropologists, some folklorists. We got some names. Most of the people that we had, you know, listed in terms of names were already dead by the time we found them. But, you know, you go into a village, everybody knows everybody else. You talk to some people, you maybe go to the little bar, you go to the little market area, and people just start pointing out. They say, oh, you know, this lady dealt with a vampire, this lady, her son was turned into a werewolf, whatever. And you go knock on their door, and they're very friendly. They, you know, they let you in and they start talking.
See, now, that's what's amazing to me, because these people have lived with this for years, and I'm not talking superstition. I'm talking, well, I guess it's a little superstition, but these people believe this so much, they would lock their doors at a certain time of night. They would hang, you know better than me, Justin, but I think they would put, like, goat's blood on the door to discard any kind of, discourage any kind of vampires or anything like that for coming into the house. Is that true? They still do that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Did you find any ways to, the rituals that lure in vampires or rituals that keep them away?
Well, the whole thing about garlic, there is actually something to that. A lot of times when they bury bodies, they'll put garlic in with the grave to, keep that person from becoming a vampire. Now, they use the word strigoi over there, and strigoi is a little different than what we think of as a vampire, but it's fairly similar. I mean, it's someone that comes back from the dead. There's all kinds, and every village has their own beliefs about these things, but there are a lot of different ways you can become a vampire. One of them is if you die and maybe you've had a rough life, you've been an alcoholic, or you've had some kind of
Jason, yep. That's you, man.
I was just gonna say, Sean, you and I are in trouble.
I know.
I'm sending you all a crate of garlic.
And I'm burying it with them. And
they have all kinds of different ways, though, that you can become a vampire, and all kinds of different ways that you can get rid of them. One of which actually does, and it's in the film, you know, does involve piercing the heart of the corpse with some sort of sharp instrument. So
now, is that to pierce the heart, or is that to pin the body to the ground?
Well, it's kind of similar. What it started as, I think, is you know, when they used to bury people in shallow graves, a lot of times what happened is wolves. There are a lot of wolves up in the Carpathian Mountains. Other scavenger animals would come and basically just dig up the corpse, and then, you know, the villagers would come back and they'd find the grave, and there's hands sticking out of the grave, and they think, oh, they're coming back from the dead. So originally, I don't know what the exact start of the belief was, but if you took a stake and you pinned that body down to the ground, that kind of ended up evolving into, well, if you just pierce the heart with a stake, regardless of pinning it to the ground, then that'll work to get rid of the vampire. So there's all kinds of different variations on how to rid yourself of the vampire.
Hey, Justin, what did they think about the medical science that came out and said a lot of the vampire stuff that happened was because they buried people prematurely? They weren't really dead. What do the villagers think about that?
You know, the way I approached the whole thing was I don't want to call it superstition necessarily. I mean, all the people we interviewed in the film, I believe that they experienced something. And regardless of if it was a hallucination or however you want to explain it away, there's so many different stories. I just wanted to film them and listen to their stories because they're so interesting to me, you know, and a lot of them are kind of getting lost as the older generation leaves. So I never tried to say, well, you know, I never tried to provide a logical explanation for it to them. In my mind afterwards, I would think, well, I can see how this could happen or that could happen, but I just wanted to let them talk, you know, and get their beliefs on video to share it with other people. And, you know, I never got into, you know, I had a guy who was, he's in the movie, and he had a kind of an abduction story where he had been out in the forest and some sort of, he described it as a big cloud, had picked him up and moved him. And, well, the story's in the film. I mean, if anybody wants to check it out. But, you know, he was asking me after the interview about jet planes and if we had jet planes in America. So not all of the people out in the villages are real well versed in, you know, science,
modern technology,
kind of thing. So
I just gotta say, Justin, I just want to add real quick, guys, I tonight had a conversation with my brother-in-law, and he told me that he didn't believe in ghosts. Now, Justin, us three guys, Jason, Nathan, and myself, and a lot of our listeners, they go out, they ghost investigate stuff. And you know what? I didn't believe in it either. And he told me tonight, man, you know, I just don't believe in that stuff. I don't get it. But I get it. I've done enough where I've seen this stuff happen. Now, science tells me that it can't be happening. It does not happen. I hear kids, I hear all kinds of people go, man, that stuff ain't real. But when you go looking for it, And it happens so many times, you see the truth. I wonder, are vampires real? Our ancestors, did they know something that we don't know? With all this technology and all these lights and buzzers and all this great stuff, is it taking away common sense? You know what I'm saying?
I do, I agree with that in a lot of ways. I mean, I keep myself skeptical about everything. When I was over there investigating this, I never wanted to, like I said, say to explain to those people, well, maybe it was occurred for this reason or that reason. I wanted to hear their stories, because even though some of the people I interviewed probably weren't even literate, you know, and they hadn't gone to school very long, there's still a lot of knowledge. There's still some wisdom to the things they say. I didn't make any judgments one way or the other whether or not the things they saw or experienced were real or not. I just wanted to document and, you know, have people keep an open mind to it. Now, right. Myself, did I run into anything supernatural? Not really. I didn't, but I wasn't putting myself into that, you know, spot to find that. I was trying to listen to other people tell me about what they had heard. And if you guys watch the movie, you know, there's some really, there's some strange stories there. And I also wanted to make sure that the people I interviewed weren't just telling me stories because they wanted to be in a movie or on camera, you know. We went through meticulously selecting those people for the final movie, saying, okay, you know, was this person just telling us a story because they wanted to be in a movie, or were they drunk on Romanian moonshine or something?
Moonshine, baby!
They got it there. Palinka. Palinka is what they call it.
Yeah, I learned something new. Palinka.
It's some strong stuff, man. I've got some still in America with me, so.
You got to send that out, man. You got to send that out to me. I got to have a shot of that.
Now, I'll sip it with the garlic crate.
We've been asked some questions like, are some of the rumors we hear about here in America true to what they actually believe over there, like putting a brick in the mouth of a vampire?
There's all kinds. Sure, there's several different rituals you can do. Some of them involve putting coins with the gravesite. Some of them involve putting small needles through the heart. They vary greatly. I think one of the things, the misconception people have in America about vampires, they see the Hollywood movies, they see, you know, most everybody's seen Dracula, the movie, may have read the book, whatever. That movie was based partly on, when Bram Stoker wrote it, he took ethnographical accounts from that area, and then he blended it together with this Vlad Tepes guy, who was a pretty rough character in the medieval times. So some of that stuff that you get filtered through the Hollywood movies is not, I want to say accurate, but it does portray some of the beliefs of those people. It's the Strigoi, which is what they call it. They don't even use the word vampire. It's actually closer to a ghost than what we think of as an actual vampire.
Hey, Gal, what do you think about vampires, man?
I know I can't stand this whole Twilight thing that's going on. So.
Vampires make the best lovers? Is that what you're talking about?
Is that a realistic portrayal? Is this Edward Cullen guy that the women are all fawning over? Did you meet any of his family while you were there?
You know, I like to say that the movie Across the Forest is the antidote to the Twilight movie series.
It's funny too when you watch that Twilight movie. What I really find hysterical is that the young man who is in love with this girl is what, like 80 years old in real life. So I mean, isn't this like a pedophile movie?
And if he's dead already, which I don't know because I've never seen Twilight, then you got the necrophilia going on.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Now, guys, all I got to say, Justin, all I have to say is I have been in my backyard on Halloween, All Hallows Eve, and had a fire going and sitting out there and talking to people, and you just feel the energy shift. You can feel something in the air. It's there. It's real. If any of you guys have ever experienced this, I love Halloween. But if you've ever experienced the energy around All Hallows Eve, I mean, I think there is something to this. I think Science is great, but I think it doesn't know everything, Justin.
Well, I have a question for you, Justin. You mentioned that somebody said that their son had been turned into a werewolf or something. Now, Jason Gowan is pretty hairy, so I want to make sure we're safe with this whole werewolf thing. What did you learn about werewolves?
I would watch out a little bit. if he has hair on the palms of his hands, I would be especially concerned. But
Jason,
he's got
show us your hands.
I'm clear there.
One of the beliefs about werewolves there in Romania is that if you are the seventh son born in flowers, in Flori is what they say, which is a nice way of saying if you're the if you're a bastard, basically, in the seventh one. Then you
I
have
am
a very,
one. I'm proud to be one.
Then you have a good chance of becoming a werewolf. Now, the werewolf over there is not the same as we see in movies here, where they tend to be super violent. In a way, over there, a lot of the there's something called the Vukolac, and there's something called a Prikolic. There's a couple different variations of them, but one of them is this kind of a it happens from a curse, or it can happen if you were born in that unfortunate circumstance I mentioned just now. But they tend to wander around at night, howl, bother people, rattle windows, not you know, bump up against doors. They don't tend to be that violent. Now, in the movie, there is one story, and it's a fairly long story, that the werewolf, and they called it a Strigoi, actually, but it was in the form of a wolf. That wolf was very
Wait,
violent.
They called it a Strigoi? Is the vampire and the werewolf the same thing for them?
Well, like I said, the Strigoi is not, it's not exactly what a vampire is. It can tend to be, ghost is almost a better translation, but I use the word vampire because it has some characteristics of a vampire also. In this particular story, the wolf is inhabited by the spirit of this guy who had been killed violently out in the woods, and he goes and actually finds several of the people responsible for it. I don't want to give away the ending to it. It's a pretty good story and pretty involved, but for the most part, the werewolf character over there is not like you would see in movies here. It doesn't tend to be as violent or, you know, killing people that much.
Yeah, I just
I was just soaking that in. It's
I can't say enough about the old people, the especially out in Romania, man. All these you have brought. You have helped, Justin, bring back the ghost story. And that's what I love, man, about your video. That's what I love about what you stand for, is you brought back some of the old people's things. You know what I'm saying?
I wanted to preserve that stuff because we would literally go into a village. You know, a lot of times we were hitchhiking along these dirt roads, just finding any way we could to get to different villages. And some places we went, you really couldn't take cars. Places where they'd never met anybody from outside of Romania. You know, they were surprised to even see someone from America there. And these stories, I mean, you know, like I said, it's not Twilight, it's not Hollywood vampire stories. But if anybody's interested in what, you know, a lot of this stuff originated from, this is the movie that actually has that. And it's good just to turn the lights out, you know, turn the movie on, and listen to some pretty bizarre stories.
Well, you know, what I'm really interested in right now is Jason, Sean, and I, we've been working on some filming as well, and we've discovered that what you see on TV is only a piece of what people have lived through. 3 days could equal 20 minutes on TV.
Yeah.
What did you do while you were out there? How long did you film, and, you know, how much of it was really hard to cut out, and what do we get to see when we see it?
It's difficult, especially working in a foreign language because they were speaking Romanian. So we went there for 3 months, a little over 3 months, actually technically kind of got kicked out of the country for overstaying my
visa
passport stamp, but it was no problem. Anyway, we spent 3 months recording stories. We got about a little over 40 hours of footage. We came back to America, spent 3 months here, then went back for another 3 months, went through all the translation process, and then started selecting material. And you're right, it, you know, you, with the way technology is now, with you know, HDV tapes being so cheap, you can, our idea was, let's just turn the camera on, let them talk, you know, let them tell their stories, and then we'll go back and, you know, get the best parts of the stories. Because a lot of these, especially the older people, they're not familiar with how camera works. They're not familiar with film. So they would tend to, you know, tell a story about a vampire or a werewolf, and then they would start talking about their family, or they'd start talking about their life under communism. And a lot of that stuff was interesting, too, but you have to make editing choices, you know, somewhere and select the material. If there was any problem really with it, it was that people wanted to talk a lot. You know, there were many stories that we got that we just couldn't put in the film because we wanted to keep it, you know, about an hour and a half. So we still got a lot more footage of other stories about all these kinds of supernatural things, but tried to put it all together so that it kind of, you know, it's not just a, it's not a film just about vampires or werewolves. There's forest spirits in there. There's some alien abduction stories. There's quite a few different types of stories. Runs the whole gamut of the supernatural, I think.
Well,
right. Well, I just wanted to say something really quick, guys. Tales from the Dark Side. If you ever check that opening out, we walk in the sunlit world of what we believe to be reality. But then there is a dark side. And that's something that I think all our listeners need to know, Nathan, Gowan, everybody, Justin, is there is different beliefs. There is different people around the world that have experienced different things that you cannot tell them are phony because they've experienced it. And just because you live here in the States and you live in the, you know, you have electricity and all running water and everything, and it hasn't happened to you, it still doesn't mean it's phony.
Well, there are a lot of things out there we just can't explain, Sean, but I want to get this out there for people. It's called Across the Forest, Tales from Transylvania, a film by Justin Blair and Matthew Vincent. You can find it at www.acrosstheforest.com, or of course, you can come to our website, www.ghostanddemon.com. We'll have a link on our past guest page there, or right now it's on our current page. Justin, anything you want to tell people about the film before we have to wrap for the night?
I think you covered it. Just, it's available at the website, acrosstheforest.com. And, you know, I think if anybody, once again, it's the antidote to Twilight. You're not a big fan of that.
Thank God. Bless you, Justin, for your work.
Yes, sir. Now, make sure you drop me an email with your address so I can send you that crate of garlic and a little bit of moonshine.
We will do that without a doubt.
Justin, just send me the moonshine, huh? I got the garlic. How about that?
Hey, Justin, can you hang on the line for us while we wrap up tonight?
Sure thing.
Justin, thank you so much. Jason, Sean, it's time for us to thank everybody tonight for joining us at the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Wow, guys, uh-huh. Gives you something to think about. You got vampires, werewolves, oh my. All go right. To bed. Make sure your doors are locked tonight, guys, and your windows are locked too. But, hey.
Because Sean has been drinking, and he'll be out on about.
I'll be on the prowl, everybody. Woo! And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log on to our forums because, hey, we want to hear from you.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks with another great Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. We hope you all come back to talk to us then. Have a nice vacation weekend next weekend. It's Memorial Day? Labor Day.
I think so. So.
Okay.
Labor Day. It's Labor Day next. Yeah, I'm 3 months behind. It's Labor Day next weekend, and take a nice weekend off. I know we will, and we'll catch you in 2 weeks.
All right, guys. Hey, have a great week. Don't go changing, ghost hunters. You know we won't. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
Night, guys.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Well, I don't like work where I work. I'm wasting my precious time. I'm working day in and sleeping day out, and I'm losing my worried mind. Telling me what to do just makes me wanna say to those heathens and hooligans, you won't get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother.